Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'd just like to tell you where we're going. Don't you go to a restaurant and you know what you've ordered and you kind of think, man, this is my favorite dessert. Is the chocolate torte. So that's what we're going for. And then they don't have it. Yeah. Or you decide where you're going to go to the store and what you're going to purchase, and that's in your mind. And I believe in truth in advertising, and so I'm going to tell you at the end of our service today, it is our intention just to worship the Lord and lift Him up. So that He can do what He does that we cannot do. Have you ever needed a defender? Somebody that could just stick up for you? They say blood runs thicker than water, and I used to have fights with my brothers. You know, we just, here we are, we're trying to get at each other. But here, when we do that, then the neighbor comes up, and oh no, you're not going to split us brothers up. That is just not going to happen. And we have a defender in the Lord Jesus Christ. And David wrote this in Psalm 68 and 1. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also hate him that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. My title is Let God Arise. Thank you for standing in honor to the reading of the Word of God. Many are the times that I've needed help in my lifetime. The situations have varied as well as my willingness to receive the help that was proffered to me. I recently watched in amusement as one of my granddaughters tried to do a task that she really didn't have the strength or the ability to do. At times I've watched from a distance confidence that she would give up because I knew that this activity that she was participating in, she'd never done before, and it maybe was far beyond her skill set. If it is simply a difficult task that she's allowed, many times I've offered my assistance and she'll readily accept it, but sometimes it's no, Papa, I can do this. Then there are times where she summarily just rejects my help, and you walk over to help and they just turn their back because they want to do it all by themselves. And so it is with the human nature of each one of us. We wrestle to bring our pride under submission and to struggle to submit to the reality of our need of help from one another and definitely from God. When I was in junior high, I was a little bit mouthy. And sometimes I'd get myself into scuffles. And there were quite a few young boys that did that because we're in that age where we're pushing the limits and trying to assert our alpha male status. And we just want to be that person that dominates. And I can remember in the classroom sometimes, not just me, but others would get into scuffles. And I made friends with this boy named Randy Hunter. He happened to play baseball, and he played football, and he played basketball. You know, he's Johnny Jock. He could do it all. In other words, he was physically strong, and he was had outgrown us. He had his growth spurt far before many of us. You know, we're short little kids, 12 and 13 years old, and he's way up here and already has facial hair, and he's kind of buff. And I remember a group of individuals didn't like me, and so they started coming against me. And I will never forget the day that Randy Hunter walked around the corner and this kid was attacking me in the hallway, and he grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and he pulled him away and he looked at him and he said, "If you deal with him, you deal with me." And never again did I have trouble from that guy that was attacking me or any of his friends that had been attacking me, because Randy was the guy that was defending me. And I can remember many times in a classroom and hallway and gym settings, not just with me, but with almost anybody, if a scuffle started to happen, all that had to happen was Randy would stand up. And as soon as Randy stood up, everybody scattered. Nobody was willing to challenge Randy because Randy could handle almost anybody. And throughout a lifetime, we need help with many tasks in life. And our help will come from many sources. The doctor or the midwife helps deliver us into this world. Our parents provide for our every need early on in life. And our teachers give us instruction and education. Our friends and our family help us with life skills. We pursue special interest in sports, recreation, and art with the help of books and guidance from others. Our mentors help us with difficult decisions, and our pastors help us with spiritual pursuits. But the greatest need in life, the life of each individual in this room or any person alive on planet Earth, is to have his or her sins forgiven. We need somebody to stand up for us against the enemy of our soul. And this kind of forgiveness is only available for someone greater than us. I prayed that not one of you will walk from this place without admitting your need of a Savior. Even if there is not sin in your life, it's time to say, "God, I have needs and I need you to arise. I need you to stand up in my life." It's amazing. It's a thing of nature. I spoke about Randy and as far as my early teen years. But this happens in the animal world too. There's alpha males that are in the herd. And the little bucks can start fighting for the does. But all that needs to happen is Big Daddy just needs to come through waving his rack and make a few sounds. And all the little bucks back away because he has asserted his dominance. We know this. The enemy runs against us. He pushes against us. And all we need is for God to stand up. Is he standing up? And he's at the ready to come to your rescue, to my rescue, to our help. Let God arise. Many of you have already found that the Savior has come to you. He's come to you because you repented of your sins. You were baptized in his name and he washed your sins away and he's filled you with the Holy Ghost. But you and I must have a daily awareness of our need of a Savior. This is not a one-time event. When Jesus saved us, he didn't just say, "Okay, save next, save next, save next." It's not like getting a vaccination. You know, it's just, "Okay, we don't care who you are. We don't care where you go. You've been vaccinated." No, he came to be our shepherd as well as our Savior, to walk alongside of us through the struggles and the pressures of life. Those who are pursuing a close relationship with God and have been reading his word have easily discerned that the majority of humans on this planet are not under the direction of Almighty God or his Spirit. And those who are pursuing this ultimate relationship, it is easy to see how far the masses of humanity are living from God's purpose. It would be easy to become discouraged or fatalistic about the human condition. The prophet Isaiah describes a period in the nation of Israel when the heart of the people and the rulers of the land were living far from the will and the precepts of God. They were living far below the privileges God had planned for them. and truth and righteousness were forgotten commodities. So I speak to you today, if you look around and you feel like truth and righteousness just don't exist, or if right and wrong can't be discerned properly, this is a word for you today. The prophet said in Isaiah 59 and 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So there was a turnabout. There was a flip because these were supposed to be God's people. Is there a solution to such a drastic problem? How can there be a turnaround? There is a scriptural solution. There is a God solution. It was time for God to rise, and God did stand up. But what I want us to see is why God did stand up for Israel during this time. In verse 16, it reads, "He, God, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head." Does that sound like something we read in the New Testament? And we're going into the armor of God in our Tuesday night series. "He put on the garments of vengeance for clothes, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury for his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands will he fully repay." He said there was no intercessor. There was nobody to go in behalf of these people for to him. There was nobody that would stand up for righteousness. But oh, they prayed, and we're going to see the process they went through. And God said, "Okay, I'm standing up. All it takes is one." All it took was Randy Hunter to stand up in the classroom, and everybody else settled down. And it wasn't just because they'd had a tiff with him or they'd had an encounter with him. They just feared him because he had a reputation. He was a nice guy. He wasn't angry. He wasn't mean. He was just a peacekeeper. But they feared him because he was so much stronger than them. There was no one that could intercede for the sin that was rampant. The sinners needed a Savior. Sinners cannot save themselves. Sin must be judged by another. I am so glad that I have a God, a Savior, that judged my sin by the blood of Calvary and forgave me. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. And after dealing with the sin issue with a decisive hand and the mercy of the Lord, then brings salvation. And with that salvation comes God. Let God arise. Verse 19 reads, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord." I am so glad that there is a God that when we follow the right process, he comes with his salvation. Notice the process. Sin's identified. It is then judged, and sinners turn from their sin. When sinners turn from their sin, God lifts his standard or his banner or his flag of identification, and he is ready to do battle. Deliverance comes, and eventually restoration. It is time we let God arise. Let's not be like the little child that insists on doing what they don't even have instructions on how to do. Let's not be juvenile in our faith, but let's realize that we need him absolutely. I would like for you and I to stand at this moment. This is not the end of my sermon, but I'm going to ask for us to repent for ourselves, for our city and our nation, because that's the key to God standing up and saying, okay, I'll take care of this. Dear Jesus, here we are in your presence today. Your word is going forth. Your spirit has been surrounding us. I repent for my negligence. I repent for my laziness spiritually. I repent, God, if there's anything in my life that I have done that I should have not done. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive us of our sins of commission, and forgive us of our sins of omission. We pray also for the sins of our city, those that are wandering the streets of this city, that are living unrighteousness, righteous lifestyles. God, show mercy on us. Show forgiveness on our city and upon our land for our veering from the word, from our veering from your faithfulness, from our pushing away from the absolutes of your word. Forgive us, oh God. Heal our land. Heal our land. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and praying that. This is essential for you and I to receive what we need from Him. It's not because mankind deserves a Savior that He finds a Savior. It's because God wants to save him that He finds a Savior. For God so loved. It didn't say because we asked He came. It says because He loved, He came. There's a big difference. And that's what we see in this group of believers that went out hanging door hangers and walking and praying for our neighbors. It's because we love their souls. We've never met them, but we know that they're going to live in eternity somewhere. And we want them to live in eternal bliss with Jesus Christ. We don't want them to be separated from Him. Verse number 19 of Isaiah chapter 59 intrigued me. It reads, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. What's a standard that the Lord raises up against him? When going into battle, the warriors of old would carry a standard or a banner or a flag to identify to whom they were loyal. Each banner had colors and symbols that spoke of strength. The banner had been the symbol of the house or the nation, often for many generations. And they would have symbols like a tiger or a snake or a lion or other vicious animals, often were used as their symbols to show strength and prowess. And danger was often meant to be that feeling that was evoked in the hearts of those that would see the banner. If you look at movies of World War II, you would see the targets on the zeros, you know. That was where the Japanese planes, you could see that, you know, what kind of an army or an air force that plane belongs to. And the ships of the sea fly the flags of the country in which they are registered. And surely that's the way it works in the spirit realm. What is God's banner? What banner is God flying? Song of Solomon. This is Solomon's writing. The wisest man of his day in chapter 2 and verse number 4 says, he brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The banner of God is not one of fear. He doesn't have a snake on his flag or a tiger. No, his banner is one of embrace and of love. And it appears to be to humankind, even to me, to my natural thinking, that, oh, that's the most ridiculous thing that you can have. Don't try to fight somebody with love. Just punch him in the nose. And no, but God says, I have a different solution. I think different than you think. His banner over me, Solomon said, is love. Let the love of God arise. And it is my hope that when I conclude my remarks and you stand where you are, or you gather close to the front and you begin to worship Him, that you just say, let God arise and His enemy be scattered. Let love arise and His enemies be scattered. Let the love of God be manifest in our life. I'm going to read and girl's name. This is a girl that I knew as a child. Her name was Tilly Bighead. Yes. She was a Native American from the Crow Indian Reservation in Montana, that's just a few miles from where I grew up. The young girl named Tilly was raised in a very dysfunctional and neglectful family environment. Her parents were both alcoholics and given to violent outbursts. The culture she grew up in worshiped nature as God, not God. On a regular basis, she attended powwows and other spiritual events, and at these festivals, the myths of the powers of the spirits of her departed ancestors were promoted. She grew up in fear and confusion, and the fear came partially from her belief that if she did not please the spirits of her departed loved ones, she would suffer. And the confusion persisted because of the conflicting lifestyle of her parents and the community at large. She was a very boisterous child, but never carefree or happy as she longed for. There was an ache in her heart, and the fears that nagged soon began to grow something greater. First, it was only intermittently that the terror arose in her alone times, and gradually the extreme emotions intensified. And I speak of this because I knew her personally. She was a part of the youth group of the church that I grew up in. I remember when she came to church. I remember when we went to the brush arbors at the Crow Indian Reservation and had services. And that's where she was first introduced to Pentecost. The night hours were the worst. Dreams turned into nightmares, and nightmares became waking hours of tumult and terror, and spirits of darkness walked in and out of her room. And when the sun arose in the morning, there was a little bit of reprieve. By her early teen years, Tilly was emotionally disturbed and acted out on a regular basis at home, at school, and almost everywhere she was. She needed God to arise in her life, and God stood up. By the mercy of God, He placed a born-again believer in her community, and something drew Tilly to the other girl, and compassion touched the heart of the young born-again teen, and they formed a friendship which led Tilly's introduction to Jesus. After attending church for some time, Tilly found a place of tearful repentance in the presence of Jesus. However, weeks later, she was still expressing frustration over not having been filled with the Holy Ghost and having fear in her life. Constant, continual. The detail of her background that I have briefly shared with you today was unknown to most in the church until later. And on a warm Sunday evening, Tilly made her way to the altar, fully repenting again of her sins and begged God for forgiveness. Having sincerely expressed her desire to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, the pastor consented and God stood up again. Every time we move in the right direction, God is there saying, yes, I'm on your side. He's like the tight end or the tackle. He is like the individual that makes way for the quarterback to take the ball all the way into the end zone. It was a night that I am sure Tilly will never forget, and I know that I will always remember. It's indelible in my mind. The process of opening the baptismal, which was hidden under part of the platform, was always exciting to me. Each time the memories of my own baptism experience would come alive, and they would lift the platform up, and underneath there was this big tin baptismal tank, probably 4 foot by 8 foot and about 3.5 feet deep. The water was up to here when I got baptized. Everything leading up to and including the moment Tilly was placed underwater in Jesus' name was typical. But the moment her head breached the water, a terrifying scream erupted from her mouth. God was arising through the power of His name and the power of His blood. Because when we're baptized into the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus covers us. Romans 6 tells us, and arising through the power of the name of Jesus, after Tilly went down into the water, Christ Jesus cleansed her. Calvary was visited again, and God stood up and said, "See the whipping post? I went there for Tilly. You see the cross? I hung there for Tilly. You see the grave? I came out of there for Tilly, so she could come in newness of life." And the whipping post of Golgotha was brought alive, and the words, "It is finished," reached into the dark side of eternity, and the spirits of darkness that had taken up residence in the heart had to leave, and God stood up, and Tilly screamed as the demons were banished from her heart house in which they had lived. And moments later, joyfulness spread across the face of Tilly, and she began to speak in a language that she could not understand, but her spirit was communicating with the Spirit of Almighty God as He saturated her being and changed her life forever. Yes, she still had to do some work with her emotions, but she was freed from the fear. She was freed from that oppression. She was freed from that suffocation that she experienced with regularity. And so it is when God arises, the enemy is scattered. Let God arise. When we bow down in worship, God arises in strength and bears His arm. His banner over me is love. He wasn't there to ridicule Tilly for the things that she had done or thought. He wasn't there to accuse her of being wicked because she happened to be born into those circumstances. No, He was there to love her. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 says, "What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. His banner over me is love. When God arises, love gets up in our life. And love is a foreign thing to some folks. They are a little bit afraid of it because they don't know how it works. You see, hate we can predict. It ends in vengeance. But love we can't predict. And we can't understand why. Oh, there's an old song that says, "I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why Jesus cared, but I'm so glad He did. I don't know why." I wished my sister happy birthday yesterday, and I said, "I love you." And she said, "Why do you love me?" And I said, "Because of all the childhood memories, and you're my sister." But it's a provoking thing for somebody to say, "Why do you love me?" Because Mom and Dad told me I had to. No, we learn to love. We learn to give love. We struggle with that. But see, the difference is we love, but God is love. So when He shows up, love shows up. We learn to fear, but perfect love casteth out all fear. Jesus said this in John 15 and 13, "Greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down one's life for his friends." 1 John 4 and 19, "We love Him because He first loved us. Your sin can be judged and be put to death in this house today by the love of God." When we bow and worship, God arises in strength and bears His right arm. If there is sin in your life, repent and let God arise. If there's hurt in your heart, surrender and let God arise. If there's confusion in your mind, ask for wisdom and let God arise. And if you would stand one final time with me, I would encourage you, if there's anger in your spirit, forgive, and let God arise. If there's uncertainty in your life, praise God and let Him arise. If there's fear in your heart, worship Him and let God arise. I don't have the scripture written down for them to project, but how does God's love come into our life? Romans 5:5 says, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we'll just let God's Spirit go free, God can arise in our midst today. Is there anybody that would just like to raise their hands where there are? Or maybe you want to come up here to the front. If you do, I will be putting my shield on if we pray for you. Jesus is here in this place. His love is here in this place. His grace is manifest in this place. Let God arise. Let His banner start waving over this house today. His banner of love. It's not a serpent, it's not a tiger, it's not a snake, but it's an embrace of love saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Praise you, Jesus. That's it. Let His love saturate you. We're in the presence of the One who created us. For God so loved. Thank you for your love, Jesus. We embrace you. We say, God, we want your love. Let your love be made manifest, Holy God.